Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Maat Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always pleased and very honored to be able to be with you live and in living color. We are coming from the location known as, to some, Filthadelphia. And with that, of course, we're talking about the place known as Philadelphia for some, but certainly today we prefer Filthadelphia for very obvious reasons. Today will mark the 41st year commemoration of, we feel, one of the most horrific situations that has occurred here in the city in contemporary time. And for those who are not familiar, we are talking about the, we call it the first assault, the first attack in terms of the very vicious and obvious attack on the MOVE family, the MOVE organization. Today, August 8th, marks that day 41 years ago. And every year we tend to do something in just not just remembering it, but in the continual work that is necessary to make certain that the remaining MOVE members are to be freed. And of course, if you've been listening for the past month, of course, you've been hearing how there have been developments in terms of MOVE family members being freed. Of course, a few days ago, we had the opportunity to talk with Sisters Janine and Jeanette Africa. We're going to do part two tonight, as a matter of fact. And before we do, I want to again thank all of you that tuned in last week. It was wonderful. It was Monday, I believe. Yep, it was Monday, so a few days ago. And those who are regular listeners, those who are new listeners, we welcome you. And we just want to thank everyone this whole week. Of course, Jeanette and Janine have been doing radio and other things this entire week leading up to today. It was a wonderful interview today on WRD. I just got a text from Brother Shamari, and he says, if you missed it, then, of course, you can hear the replay tonight if you go to WRDradio.com. You'll be able to hear that interview as well. And so I can tell you it was very, very good. Sister Pam Africa and Brother Eddie Africa was also a part of that interview today. Again, we are going to kind of pick up from where we left off last week, last Monday, that is, but also we're going to kind of venture into some other aspects of things. There has been an emergency alert that was issued earlier today for a car caravan that was to go up to the prison tomorrow. From what I understand, there is an update on that, given the fact that some of the family have, in fact, talked with Brother Delbert. And so what we're going to do is get ready to have our sisters come in and provide us with that information. But also, we have a surprise for them. And while we are going to wait just a few more minutes before we bring him in, but Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. will be joining us very shortly as well. And of course, he wanted to give his best wishes and just, you know, wonderful, just elatedness in terms of our sisters being home and other MOVE members being home. And also, the sisters are going to be on Chairman Fred's program very soon. I think they'll be scheduling that later on this week as well. Okay, moving right along. Let's do this. I think that was the main thing I wanted to share with you for now. We'll also be talking with Brother Khalifit, who is here in Philadelphia, has been a community activist for many, many years. And again, when we talk about 1998, some of us were, in fact, there. It's not the actual day of, certainly leading up to, and certainly afterwards. So there are some who went to some of the court hearings after the August 8th situation and, you know, bore witness to just some more injustices. Again, it's important that we keep the history, that we continue to convey the history of what happens to our people in particular and in our communities, because if we don't, somebody else will be telling it, and 9 from the 10 will not be telling it correctly. And so we now are very adamant to make certain that we keep our history and make certain that we are able to share it with others. So like with the interview earlier today, Brother Shamari, again, you can hear that radio program interview that went on today by going to Word Radio. And you can hear ours at any time by also just going to our website, New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And you can hear our program at any time as well, because all of our programs are archived and for 11 straight years. So you can hear them again at any time. Okay, without further ado, I think we're going to go ahead now and begin our program. Again, for those who do not know, we kind of left off on Monday with Sister Janet and Janine telling us about some of what happened to them while they were incarcerated during these 40 years, and certainly some of the beginning things. I mean, it was really... It was almost heartbreaking, to say the least, to hear of some of the things that they had to endure while being incarcerated. And we're going to revisit some of that tonight as well. But I think what we want to do is first give you the update on what's going on with Brother Delbert, because that's like right here, right now. And so without further ado, let me open up the mic and let me bring in and welcome Sister Janine and Sister Jeanette Africa. Greetings, my sister.
On the move.
On the move. All right, all right. All right. Well, I know you all had a very busy day today.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But we also had a little bit of uplifting news in the situation with Delbert. They returned him to SCI Dallas today, and he has been allowed to make phone calls, so he got to call home, and both my sisters Rhea and Alberta and our brother Carlos got to talk to him. So even though he's, you know, he's not out completely out of the woods, it was a relief for us to hear his voice and to know that, you know, so that's a help. That's a big help. But we're telling people not to relax, because we want to get Delbert's medical records so that our family can see for ourselves what he was treated for and what kind of treatment they gave him, and also so that we can have a doctor of our choice look over Delbert's records and get a second opinion about things that the prison has told us. So it's still going to be a demonstration up at Geisinger's Hospital in Wilkes-Barre tomorrow that's going to start at 9 o'clock. And then they're going to take it to the prison if they don't have no satisfactory results as far as getting his medical records. The demonstration will pick up at SCI Dallas. So that's the update in that situation, and it did help ease up a lot of pressure off of us, just knowing that he's alive and that we can talk to him.
And one of the reasons we do want these medical records about Delbert, the procedure that they used, if they gave him any medication, is because we don't want to happen to Delbert what happened to Mumia. They gave Mumia medication, you know, that was causing him to go blind, you know, and we were trying to explain to people today, you know, we're used to seeing that physical brutality from cops and from this system, from this government, but people aren't that familiar with seeing the way that they're coming at our comrades today in the medical way, like what they're doing to Mumia and what they're doing to Delbert. Because people think when somebody's sent to the hospital, they're being treated well. But remember what we told you about our brother Phil, who complained of a stomach problem, went to the hospital, yes. stayed in the hospital for a week, came back, and 2 days later died, you know? So this is another reason why we want the records. We want to see exactly what they're prescribing, if anything, what they did give him, and everything, so we can get somebody to check it out, follow it up, and make sure Delbert is going to be all right, like we're following up with Mumia.
You know, one of the things I think... Go ahead.
I was, because not only did they give Mumia medicine that caused him to lose his sight, they, when they got his medical records and they showed the records to a doctor of their choice, our family's choice, the doctor looked at the medication that was being prescribed to Mumia, and he said, based on the records, the two medications that they were giving him would clash and would be lethal and cause Mumia to die. And it was a good thing that our family got the records and he was able to see it, because they were able to stop him from being administered that medication. If not for that, Mumia would have been dead. So we don't want the same thing happening to Delbert, and that's why we're going to be very insistent on seeing those medical records.
I know that's right. And the other thing, too, I think it's important that people understand, because I feel strongly that what happened today with this really good news of being able to know that that some of the family did, in fact, talk with Brother Delbert. We can't reiterate enough how important it is that the people, the power of the people. I'm sure those phone calls and other things that you know that our people were doing, I'm sure that helped to have the so-called officials to allow Delbert to talk with the family. And again, the same thing with Mumia. It was the people that really pushed to make certain that the hepatitis C medication was given, and that, you know, other things were able to happen. And like you said, some of that, again, because there were other doctors that were able to look at some of the records than our people, we were really able to see more about what was happening and what did happen, even to the degree of, you know, the kinds of foods that Mumia was being given at that time, the large amount of pastas and things that were contributing to escalating the diabetes situation. And so, again, by having those other independent doctors, it helped to identify that, you know, some other stuff was going on. And family, again, you know, we want to make sure that people understand that today's types of genocide is very different from 1948 or, you know, whatever. We're in a very sophisticated world now, and these people deal with some very interesting biological and other kinds of, things to torment us and to destroy us. And so we have to stay on point. And again, sisters, you all did a wonderful, wonderful job today, as usual, in providing that information. The thing that I love so much is that the message is so clear and concise. And I think you mentioned that in terms of the Teaching for John Africa, you and Pam as well, that's really something that is stressed, to the members, to the family, to make sure that what's being said is said clearly. And again, you all did that, to say the least. So now for tomorrow, you're saying there is still going to be a demonstration?
Yes, it is. It's going to still be a demonstration, because you're absolutely right. A lot of the things that's being accomplished is because of pressure from the people. And we keep stressing this because we want people to really see the example of this, so that they know they don't have to settle for whatever these officials tell them, that they do have the power, the capability to do something about their circumstances and make these officials do their job. Because that is really what's happening here. If it wasn't for all the support, all of the activity being generated from people all across the city and states, These people would do whatever they want to move people to other political prisoners, to people in prison and on the streets. But they keep running up against a wall because every time they try their stuff, the people unite and build a protective wall around us. And that is a powerful, powerful statement. And people need to look at this and see it and just build it up even more
and take advantage of it, because there's nothing like unity and solidarity. And not only the people, but the news media, our black news media has been so helpful. They have been putting out announcements all on the radio about Delbert, because we were given word that Delbert was only going to live for 3 more days.
Yep.
You know, and it was a very devastating statement to get from somebody. And I mean, people, news reporters, like people like yourself, were contacting us and saying, what can we do? You know, and letting us do announcements on the radio. And this is something that didn't happen for us 41 years ago. We were being shunned for things that we did because people didn't understand the position that we were taking for all these years. But now it has come to fruition, and people see why we did the things that we did and how important it is for people to stick together. There is nothing more powerful than unity. And that's what people need to understand. I mean, they got courts. Yeah, they have judges. They have politicians. But they are not as powerful as the force of the people. And this is what people have understand. When you stand up and fight for what's right, the power is in the people. And look what happened today. You know, they gave us a runaround for 3 weeks about talking to Delbert. You know, they told my sister that she was going to get the medical records because she has power of attorney for Delbert. All she had to do was call the prison. She calls up the prison. They gave her the runaround. She called 3 times, and they gave her the runaround, and she never got Delbert's medical records. And that's another reason why we want them real bad, too, because we're real suspicious of anything they do, and we have a right to be suspicious based on what they did to our sister, Merle Africa, who died in 1998, of suspicious circumstances, too, when she went to the hospital for a stomach virus, and we never saw her again. You know, so that's why it's so important for us to stay on top of things when they happen, because if you just let things drop in the bucket and pay no attention to it or think it's going to turn out right because they placate you and say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, don't accept it. Do not accept it. Push. Put pressure on them, because that's the only way this system works, is through pressure. They don't do anything because it's right to do it. They only do it because they're pressured to do it. And people have the power to pressure this system into doing whatever they want.
You know, that's one of the things that I've always admired and loved about MOVE, and that is the capability to expose. And like you said, years ago, you were kind of condemned for the various practices and observances. And I just say y'all was ahead of your time, that's all. Because now, you know, everybody's eating natural and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
So you all,
unfortunately, you know, were pioneers and groundbreakers for various things. Something that came to mind earlier, and I tell you, as a young college student, I, you know, had the opportunity to see the barricade and to be a part of, you know, the community bringing food to all of you before they actually struck. But something that has helped me over the years, and it is unfortunate that things happen to our people in order for others to learn and understand the truth. And so as a result of what happened to MOVE, it helped me over the years to really understand better how not only this system worked, but how Negroes, people that look like us, can be put in positions and maneuvered in such a way to create a smokescreen when I begin to reflect back on some of what you all were saying on Monday and then again today, it really hit home that we had politicians and politicksters who really were a part of what happened. You know, when you all begin to protest at their offices and where they were at, this triggered, you know, another kind of response. And so to fast forward what has happened, the game has been to now always keep, for the most part, politicians in place that's going to continue to do that. The people like Dave Richardson and others that did stand up, we don't have them anymore. These people that are now in position are weak. They are not going to speak out against issues, particularly when it comes to going up against this system. That's just not going to happen. So you, your family, the MOVE organization, and just a few other organizations really help to exemplify the truth about how the system operates and how our people, some of so-called our people, are used to create a facade or to lessen the capability for people to see, because they see these black faces and then think, oh, well, you know, the other people, they must be wrong because you got black people over here. They say, yeah, you know. And we like, and so now we understand that a lot better. A lot better, and we know that these people are pawns and, at best, traitors.
Yeah, because if you notice the pattern, when a black person is shot by a police officer, they'll have a black police officer speak on the TV or a black lawyer, so that it takes off the connotation of race, of racism, that it was, you know, a racial hate crime. They do that. Like when a woman is raped, they'll have a woman judge hear the case, a woman DA try the case, to try to take away from, you know, the fact that, you know, this is once again women being abused and ignored. You know, they just, and especially if the person that's accused of rape is somebody they don't want to go to jail. They always use these same tactics over and over and over again, because when Rizzo came after MOVE, it kind of stirred people up a little, even though the news media really defiled us and made us look like we were crazy.
Right.
You know, it's still, even though you had a lot of people that felt like, well, they're crazy, and so they deserve what they get, or I can't blame the city for doing that to them. Even with that, though, people still couldn't get past that this white racist man was doing this to a predominantly black family. So it stirred up, you know, at least stirred up something, because people just couldn't get past that, you know? But even still with that, because of the news media being used to paint a picture of MOVE that would build the platform and allow city officials to do all of the things they did to us, you know, despite all of that, there still was a little something there, you know, but that is the only reason why things didn't go a little more different than it could have, because that news media was in this politician's hip pocket, and they really set the tone for that August 8th attack. They really did. They set the tone for that. And that was one of the things that was talked about on the show today, that, and Lynn Washington, one of the journalists that's been following MOVE since the 70s, he had to, you know, he had to say that the betrayal of MOVE in the news media was horrendous, horrendous. And it did help build that platform for Rizzo and other officials to do the things that they did to MOVE, you know, and which is another reason why Mumia is in jail, because he was one of the only journalists to stand his ground and put out the truth, you know. And because he did that, they came after him, you know. They came after him because of his position, you know, his position. He was too prominent. He had too much
right.
influence. And they did
right.
not want him influencing people, tearing down all of that that they built up against Move. They didn't want him tearing that down because that's what was starting to happen, you know. When he started doing those articles and reports on
yes.
Move, it was starting to tear down that wall that the cops and the city officials had built up between Move and the public. It was tearing it down, and they had to stop him so that they could get away with what they wanted to do, because they wanted
yes.
to keep us in jail for 100 years and have no problem behind it, you know.
Yes. Yes.
And that point that you were making about how they use black people to suppress other black people, it's
yes.
a very fine point, because Mayor Good, black people have been oppressed for so long. And when they see a black person become the first mayor of a city, they see it
right.
as something victorious. You know, oh, yes, we're moving up in the world. But people have to understand that the system was just doing that to use that black mayor, just like the slave master used the straw boss against the black
yeah.
slaves. You know, and it was the
right.
same thing. So people get confused, and it starts pulling on them because they're feeling so great that a black man is mayor. You know, so some of them would accept and have accepted the fact that a black mayor gave the order to drop a bomb, murder innocent children, innocent men, and innocent women. You know what I mean? He was black, but because they felt like he's the first black mayor of Philadelphia, they still stayed on his side after he did
right.
something like that. You know, and this
yeah.
is where the confusion comes in, and people have to realize, I don't care what your skin color is, that if you're being used by this system, you are wrong. And if you are black and being used by this system, you are doubly wrong, because he knew better. And those people that support him, you know better. I mean, they wish he wouldn't have did it, but he did, and he was wrong, and he is still suffering and will continue to suffer the rest of his life, because he has the blood of 11 Move members on his hands, including 5 children, and he will
yeah.
never get past that. You know, he's
yeah.
written letters for us that we found out for parole. We didn't find out until we got out, but
mm-hmm.
you know, those letters are not going to clear his conscience, never, because he did something that he didn't have to do. Did you know that they were grooming him to be a potential vice president running for the vice president spot for the Democrat nomination? They were grooming him back in the day. Yes, they were. And so he would do anything that they asked him to do to try to get that position. But look what he did. And after he did what he did on May 13th, they dropped him like a hot potato. When we first met Wilson Good, he was a soliciting city managing director.
Right.
And he came
right.
to the prison and sat with us in the prison and told us all the things that he would do to help the cause of Move, help get innocent people out of jail, and what he would do once we got out of jail. When he became mayor, he dropped all of that, mixed it, and went against us and tried to do everything to hurt us, because that's what the politicians wanted him to do, and he did it. And now he's paying, and he's suffering for what he did, because everybody knows, you know, I don't care how much you care about Wilson Good because he's the first black mayor, everybody knows he was wrong for that. And, of course, here we go. The news media painted Move to be crazy, maniacal. So when they did the filth and dirt that they did to us and our family, people would say, oh, they justified in doing what they did to Move because they was just nappy-headed. You know, they had a whole bunch of animals. You know, they made up all these excuses, just like Janine said, had the media in their hip pocket, and painted us the way that they wanted to paint us. You know, and now, 41 years later, people are seeing that MOVE is nothing like the way that the news media painted us. All those animals that we had them because we were saving them from abuse, because they were homeless. You know, something that's very rescue animals is very popular these days. You know, people are emptying their pockets to help animals. But MOVE, John Africa's teaching, had us doing this 41 years ago, and we was looked down on. You know, when we were helping people that were in those homes, what do you call them,
senior citizen homes,
and they were being abused,
yeah.
MOVE stepped to them and supported and helped them get them out of those homes or get the people that was abusing them out of those homes. Now, 41 years ago, this is a very popular thing. They have cameras watching people now to make sure they don't hurt the older people. But MOVE was doing this 41 years ago, every day, going around to those senior citizens, talking to them, making sure nobody was hurting them. The gangs, MOVE people 41 years ago was trying to bring gangs together. You know, we had work together, exercise together. You know, 41 years, all the things that people now are really boasting about and trying to do, you know, stop the bullying, you know, make sure women got a fair shape. All these things that we were doing 41 years ago now are very, very popular. And people are now beginning to see why all the strategy that we had years ago is coming to fruition right now.
And you know, I find it so interesting that we're able to look at today and really see how certain things were kind of the prelude to what we're seeing now. For example, you mentioned that Wilson Good was being groomed. Well, isn't that interesting? Because a few years ago, we knew that someone else who is now running for president, we knew that he was being groomed. He became the mayor for Newark, New Jersey. And we knew at that point that we could just tell, you know, just based on the way, just the whole way he was maneuvering and his style and all that, we knew that he was being groomed. And I'm talking about none other than Cory Booker.
Right.
Okay. He was the mayor of Newark, and we knew that, you know, something else was happening. So after the mayor thing, he became senator, and now he's running for, you know, president. And see, and I find it interesting how when you kind of analyze things from a kind of a 10, 20, 30-year perspective, you kind of can see how they're moving. And so when they started talking about reparations, some of these presidential candidates, we knew that the Democratic Party was in serious trouble and they needed the black vote. So for them to put something out just to say that they were in support. When you start telling black folks the possibility of possibly getting a couple of dollars, that perks their ears up, okay? It's a political strategy.
Yeah.
So
yes,
we knew that this was something that was in the makings, and we're just hoping that our people understand, you know, a little more today about how some of this stuff operates. And lastly, and then we're going to bring in our surprise guest for you. A few years prior, of course, to 78, there was a what they call early morning invasion in Chicago. And certainly we're talking about when cops went in and did, in fact, assassinate Chairman Fred Hampton. That gave us some indication of, you know, to what extent, meaning that era showed us what these people would do. And unfortunately, we saw here in Philadelphia the kind of reigniting of that 1960s kind of bestiality that police had shown that they were about in California and in Chicago and in other locations. And it seemed that things had kind of quieted down for a moment since COINTELPRO and other things went into effect. But then, of course, in 1978, we saw another manifestation of, you know, that continuation of, if not COINTELPRO, certainly the mentality. And for those that do not know, Philadelphia, even the FBI during that time period, found Philadelphia police as being some of the most corrupt and brutal types of forces in the country. So, you know, we're talking about a pattern of a certain type of behavior, and certainly under the regime of Frank Rizzo, and then who later became mayor. Again, how did that happen?
Yes, I tell you. I guess that's right up there with Trump. How did that happen?
Right. I mean, tyranny at its best in both cases. But my sisters, I want you to stay right there for one moment. I have someone that wants to give their greetings to you, and hopefully it's going to go through. We'll find out in a minute. Let's see. It's saying, here we go. Okay. Okay, what's going on? You're supposed to be picking up this phone. That's what's supposed to be going on. Okay, we'll try back shortly. One more time. Nope. Okay. That one. Okay, my sisters, I was supposed to be bringing in Chairman Fred Jr. I was talking to him right before I was talking with you, and he said he wanted to give you some greetings, and he'll definitely hit me up in a text or something in a few minutes to let me know that he's available. But at any rate, moving right along, so again, we see the pattern of how these people operate. And so, you know, certainly right now, I think it's very interesting, again, that you have four presidential candidates that are talking about, oh, they think, you know, that reparations might be a good thing. You know, like we don't know that thing has been in sitting for over 30 years. And now all of a sudden they're talking about, yeah, they should at least talk about it. You know, it's just so insane. But this is the system. And, of course, MOVE has been exposing this system for, again, at least 41 years.
Yeah.
In talking about Mumia, and again, I did hear some of the interview today, and I remember very well when Mumia was, of course, reporting on the MOVE family, on you know, what had happened in 78. It just so happened I was a student at Drexel. Mumia had an independent media apparatus that he had out, and it was called Black Times Audio. And so while he worked for, you know, the regular mainstream folk, he also had an independent broadcast that he was putting out as well. And so, you know, we know that he and a few others, I don't know if you remember a brother by the name of Del Jones. He was another journalist. They used to call them like guerrilla journalists at that time. But he was another brother in the community that would write very poignantly and very clearly. And again, we know that, you know, to get kind of targeted, and I dare say, again, understanding the system, I think what kind of kept Lynn from not being as focused on to the degree that Mumia was is because there's a little bit of a cushioning when you're kind of in an academic environment. You know, there's a little greater protective mechanism there. And so I think that might have been one of the other things that helped a few to not get the scorn that the system oftentimes gives. But certainly it was good to hear Mumia today. I heard him call in.
Yes. It's always good to hear his voice. Yeah.
Yes. And it's incredible because he sounds so strong, you know?
I know. I was just sitting there thinking about, you know, because all that he's going through, And he's still being the voice of the voiceless. You know, he just puts the cause first. You know, and he really doesn't like to be the focus and, you know, be talking about himself. He just, all he thinks about is what he can do to help. And that's all that stays in the front of his mind, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's, you know, and I mean, because he is going through a lot, you know, and he's still hanging in there. His spirits is good. He's just haven't given up, you know, and he just continues to fight for people.
And ever since we've known Mumia, he's been this way. He used to just come around all the time, do interviews, talk to us. He was just so impressed by John Africa's teaching that he just wanted to keep coming around. And everybody knows because of the way that he reviewed our trial, our case, our plight. This is why he's in the position that he is in now, because the stance that he took, he started getting blackballed because of his reporting of our court case. Because what Mumia used to do was come to the trial and he would sit there. And then when you would see the report about what Mumia did, he would report on one side what the courts did, and he would report on the other side what Move did. He didn't plan it at all. He put it out there so people could come to with their own objective, as opposed to the other reporters who came in the courtroom, majority of them slanted it against Move, but Mumia didn't. So people came to that conclusion themselves. And the courts and the system got mad at Mumia for doing that. And they blackballed him from the job that he had. And he was a very prominent reporter. And if you notice, ever since he started investigating our trial and being on the case, they started mistreating him real bad. And then that's when that situation happened with that cop, and they framed Mumia was because they wanted to shut him up too. You know, they didn't want him to tell the truth about what was happening to Move. And the next thing you know, here he is sitting in prison for saying that he killed the cop, that being beat, I mean, damn near to death, because he wanted to expose the truth. That's why Mumia is in prison right now, and why he spoke up every incident that happened. I remember when he was 15 years old around Manchua, he was the head of the Black Panthers. I mean, he was speaking up then and helping the people, you know, and he's always been like that. Ever since we've known him, he would come in to the prison and stay for hours just talking to us, you know, and telling us about some of the things that he would do, but mostly he just wanted to know about John Africa's teaching. And when he did get arrested and go to court, he asked for John Africa to represent him. And I want to point out to people, when you are in the courtroom and you are facing a death sentence, a life sentence, you want the best representation that you can get to save your life. And Mumia asked for John Africa to represent him, and the courts refused it. Now, John Africa represented himself during the federal trial. And during his federal trial, he won that case. He walked out of that case a free man. The odds was all against John Africa. They told all kinds of lies, said he had all kinds of weapons, all kinds of bombs and everything. But he had a jury of 12 people, and they heard that powerful information from John Africa. They let him walk out of that courtroom a free man. And he was facing the same thing that Mumia was facing. So, rightly so, Mumia felt like it would be in his best interest to have John Africa represent him, since he was able to do the same thing in federal court that Mumia wanted done for him. But once again, they refused John Africa to represent Mumia, and they gave him Tony Jackson. that
yep.
I heard didn't do such a good job, you know?
Oh, that puts it mildly. You know, I was a religion major and a pre-law minor. So I knew very little about the law, but guess what? When I saw Anthony Jackson, I knew that was, you know, that he not only didn't know what he was doing, that was going to be a disaster. That was so obvious. And I mean, you could tell he was lost. And then to be forced to represent Mumia, that, you know, certainly that didn't make things any better. But he had never tried a murder case before, and definitely not anything of that kind of high profile, you know. And so he was really just, you know, out of his whole league. He was just not the person to do it. And we know that was all intentional. I mean, obviously that was all intentional to have somebody that didn't know what they were doing to be in there. You know, the so-called representative, but the whole system is just messed up. And so, you know, I think we have, okay, Chairman Fred's not in queue, but recently you, my sisters, were in New York, and you're doing a lot of speaking engagement. And so we're going to bring in Sister Betty Davis. Betty Davis was a part, of course, of the crew, the group, that brought you all in to New York, and so she wants to give her greetings to you. And so, Sister Betty, greetings. How are you this evening?
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, and I want to send a shout-out to all of the listeners tonight, because by listening in, you are saying to the government and to the world that we embrace our warrior sisters, that we salute their courage. And I also want to make sure, I don't know if they announced that they have a PayPal link. It's very important that we not just support them with our words, but that we go to their PayPal link on their website and on the Jericho website and send them our love. Even if all you have is $10, if all you have is $2, send it.
Yes.
Because that makes a statement. Whatever you have, it makes a statement. And I just want to admire our warrior sisters, Janine and Janet.
Thank you, Sister Betty. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on and on. I apologize.
No, Sister Betty, we thank you. We thank you. And since you mentioned it, I wasn't going to tell them yet, but we're going to pay tribute to Sister Janine, Sister Jeanette, and also Sister Debbie in October, because we also, as a part of our Million Women March 22-year anniversary, we are going to pay tribute to them. Also Toni Morrison. But definitely we want people to know that our women are strong. And I heard our sisters mention something earlier today and in some of their other presentations about how, you know, what impressed them was when they saw how strong the MOU women were. You know, before they actually got involved, they saw that strength. You see, and it's so important that particularly our young sisters now see some serious black women with a certain type of strength, that Fannie Lou Hamer and that Ella Baker and others, you know, that Asada strength. And so, you know, here our sisters have served 40 years. And listen to them, the commitment, the dedication, the seriousness. Is right there, not deterred at all. You know, that is a clear example. That's a clear example. So we want to make sure that we exemplify that. So, again, October family, we're going to be paying tribute to our MOVE women. Of course, I had the opportunity to attend Sister Merle's memorial service. And so we, of course, will mention her, as well as Sister Pam and Sister Ramona. So we'll be giving you more information about that a little later on. But Sister Betty, how was it having our sisters in New York with you?
Oh, it was incredible. The turnout was incredible in terms of people from all areas of the political movement came out. You did not see just the usual suspects, as they say, you know, round up the usual suspects. You saw people from every aspect of the movement. The artists were there. The people who are for the anti-war movement were there. The people who were there to support public broadcast radio were there. It was an incredible sign of unity in terms of the struggle to free ourselves. And I want to make it clear that Janine, Janet, Pam, Ramona have always said to the movement, we follow the teachings of John Africa. They have never deserted their philosophical beliefs. They have always stood their ground, and I admire them for that. And it is obvious that their philosophy is successful because it delivered them from the death camps intact. And
that's right.
I really cannot express my admiration for them enough. Sister, I'd like to ask you, do you have a date in October for your event? Because I'd like to know, we're planning some events, and we want to make sure they don't conflict with yours.
Okay.
1 minute. I can tell you that every year, Million Women March has Million Women March Week. And so this year, I believe, is from the 21st through the 27th. So I'm not sure the actual day. Yeah, of October, every year for 22 years. So I'm not sure exactly the date yet, but I know it's sometime during the 21st and the 27th, but I'll definitely have that for you within the next week, the actual day that we'll do the tribute. Because we want to highlight warrior women.
Yes.
You know, as you know, of course, we've talked about Queen Mother Moore, but we don't want to just talk about, you know, from the past. We want to show people today. You know, we know we have Yaa Santawa and Makeda and Nzinga, and, you know, we can talk about others, but who are our warrior women for today, you see? And so that's going to be kind of the focus, you know, warrior women, our warrior women of today. But definitely, Sister Betty, I will certainly, within the next week, I'll be able to give you a date, you know, hopefully you'll make it here as well.
Well, one of the reasons I asked this is because to honor Sister Janine and Sister Jeanette, we were thinking of trying to have yet another fundraiser for them also, and we were going to build it around the anniversary date for Sister Lynn Stewart, who you know was also liberated from the death camp, and she had said, never ever have an event when you are trying to get me free that focuses on me, focus on all of the political prisoners. Her birth date was October 8th. So we were thinking of having something after October 8th as a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to focus on Mamiya, Stafford, and Janine, and Janet. But in addition, we wanted to add the fact that some of our warriors, like Jan Lahman, who were allies and warriors to free our political prisoners also in the death camp.
Yes.
But it would be the part of the proceedings of the fundraiser would be for our sisters Janine and Janet. And we know Sister Lynn would be smiling on that. So her birth date, as I said, is October 8th, but we're going to try and have something around the date after that, so we don't conflict with anything. But this is all in the works. There's nothing written in stone. So that's why I asked. This issue of what happens to political prisoners when they come out of the death camp must be focused on. We have to care for them.
Yes, and I'm glad you're saying that, Sister Betty, given the fact that this is Black August, and of course, you know, this is a mockery.
Yeah.
So you're right on point, as usual. This is Black August, and of course, that this is a month that, you know, a time that we specifically focus on the prison situations and the things that are relevant to that, and certainly political prisoners. So, you know, this is all right on point.
All right, all right. Okay, my sisters, well, let's do this because I just got a message from Chairman Fred. So we're going to try that one more. Yep, hold on 1 minute. I'm going to try to, hold on. Oops, wait, I just lost my sight here for one moment. I'm going to try one more time to bring him in. So give me a moment. Okay, there we go. We're going to try to, okay, hold on. Let's try this. Here we go. One more time. There we are. It should be. There we go.
Wilmore.
Hey,
on a move, Fred.
Yes.
On a move, Fred.
On a move.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. Who is this? This is who I'm speaking with.
This is Janine and Janet.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. On the move. Right on. Yes, indeed. Hey, revolutionary love and respect. Clinchman salute. I wish my mother was here with me. She told me I talked to y'all, extend our love and our respect. I look forward to seeing y'all. I know we're dealing with a whole bunch of stuff, but we got y'all back like a backpack and your chest like a bulletproof vest. We still rolling.
All right now. You sound like you rolling.
Yes, indeed. It's a race. Y'all are inspiration. We extend our love and respect, and I can't wait to see y'all. And, you know, keep us posted. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get that way soon. We putting out the word on Deb and everything else. We together. So again, revolutionary love, respect, and appreciation. Y'all consistency. Again, y'all are inspiration. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
And
thank
we
you.
Appreciate all that you have done too through the years, the fighting and the struggling that you have done. We appreciate all that, you know, because really we standing on the shoulders of each other, you know.
Yes, indeed.
On the shoulders of some giants. And we need each other. We need each other to keep on moving.
Yes,
we have to teach the young kids. We got to teach them. We teach them by example.
Yes.
Because a lot of them don't even know what we've been through, you've been through.
That's right.
And they need to be taught.
That's
right. Because it's not being taught in the school, so we got to teach it from the streets.
That's
we
right.
We got to teach
That's
it
right.
from the streets.
That's right.
You know?
Right. No doubt. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
We need each other, and we got each other. You better believe
that's
yes,
right.
Indeed. We got each other. Yes, indeed.
I'm gonna tell you.
Yes, indeed.
I'm gonna tell you. That is why the system is so mad, and this is what they was trying to avoid for everybody to come together.
We're coming together.
And having the focus on one direction. It don't matter.
So you're right.
What's going on?
So
everybody's coming together. For one cause, everybody wants equality, justice. We want what's right, and this is the first time in history that everybody, no matter what organization you are, no matter what your fight, your cause, everybody's coming together, and that has been what this system fears more than anything.
Yes, indeed.
They don't fear guns. They don't fear bombs.
Yes.
They fear unity. They fear that.
Yes,
that's the strongest weapon you can have.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Right on.
I mean,
right on.
This is historical.
Chairman Fred, you have something coming up at the end of the month. Maybe that might be something that Sister Jeanette and Janine can attend. Don't you have something coming up at the end of the month?
August 30th, that's the Chairman Fred's free part of My eyes got watery just even thinking about them being there. Man, literally, oh, man, yeah. Oh, man, that's just, oh, man, yeah. This is, August 30th, that's it's an annual, Chairman Fred's senior's birthday. This year in particular, we're building up for the big December the 4th. This is going to be the 50th year after the assassination. But that would be a power move, yes, indeed. A real power move to have y'all presence there, yes, indeed, August 30th. Oh man, yeah. My eyes just got water just even imagining that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes,
wow.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
If you just contact us with all
yes.
the details, the time,
yes.
the place.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
We will do
yes.
our best to get
yes.
there.
I'm gonna follow up with y'all ASAP. Yes, indeed. My eyes, yes, indeed. Oh my, my heart stopped beating a little faster just to think about. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, indeed.
Yep. So just make sure you hook up with us.
I am. Believe that. My man is pacing right now. Yes, we gonna make it happen. Yes, indeed. We gonna follow up with y'all ASAP. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Power yeah. to the people, Brother Fred, Chairman Fred. This is Sister Betty from New York. How are you?
Hey, power to the people. Good in your voice. I'm on cloud 1000. As Chairman Fred Sr. would say, I am high of the people. I am high of the people.
Yes.
I feel the beat of the people. I know we're going
Brother
through a lot
Ralph
of things.
Brother Ralph Pointer sends you greetings. And he
hey,
always
send,
acknowledge send, how much you did for to free Sister Lynn. And we thank you still.
Send him my greetings. I am honored and humbled to be of service. You know what I'm saying? I'm honored and humbled. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
We love you. We love you so much.
Love right back. I love y'all. I love y'all. And can't no borders and no jail cells and no shackles to shake that relationship up. You know what I'm saying? We are connected from state to state and throughout the world. Yes, indeed.
That's right. It's such a
yes.
good
Chairman
feeling.
Fred,
it's such
Fred,
a good
you
feeling.
Have, you have a program for Saturday. Do you have
yes.
a radio program coming up on Saturday?
Yes, 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 yes. Saturday, 12 o'clock
so,
Chicago time.
So what I'm going to
yes,
do, when we get finished tonight, I'm going to text you Sister Janet and Janine's number.
Beautiful,
and then that
beautiful,
way
beautiful.
You can connect with them directly and schedule them for
yes.
your program.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All
right.
Right.
Right on. Let's make history. Let's take history. Let's take history. Let's do it.
It's history
yes.
in the making. History
right.
in the making.
That's right. That's right.
I'm telling you.
Yes.
It is. Yep, and we need to
so
set
right.
that example to show women how strong we really are, you know,
what
because all throughout history, this system has made women think that they are a weak link, but we
yeah.
are not. We are very
you better,
strong.
You better believe it.
And what we need is for our brothers to keep lifting us up, you know, keep
you
lifting us
it.
Up to let
yeah.
us know how strong we are. Because
oh,
a lot of times... Women don't feel like they're that strong because they've always been put down in one sense or another, you know.
Right.
But
we know
women are very strong.
Yeah, we know this.
Well,
yes,
you know,
indeed. Yes, indeed.
With Chairman Fred's mother, surely,
right
again, we see a perfect example. The fact that she was there that night. She was pregnant with
yes.
Chairman Fred Jr., and look at what she's raised today. So we see that strength, you know, right before our eyes. But I also want to say this, Sister Janine and Sister Jeanette, it's so important for some other reasons, if it's possible for you all to go to Chicago, because it was just released maybe 2 weeks ago that 70, and let me repeat this again, 70 Black women have been found murdered in Chicago, either by strangulation or by being smothered. And they are just releasing this information. So it is really important that our women now speak out about what is going on with the murders of our women all over the country, the kidnappings, but particularly, again, you have one location, Chicago, and for them to be not shot, not stabbed, either strangled to death or smothered to death.
No,
we're not hearing much about this at all.
No.
That's devastating.
No.
Excuse me, Sister. Mm-hmm. We recently had a workshop in New York around this same thing, that there, the murder of African-American women and indigenous women in this country has reached genocidal proportions.
Well, that's why we've issued a state of emergency. And we're coming to we've issued a state of emergency. We've already began to put that out there because, if we don't do it, who is going to stand up and make certain
that
our communities know that this is happening? We're getting reports every week about missing women and girls in Detroit, in Baltimore. We got one that just came in today, a 14-year-old missing, little sister missing in Baltimore. Last year it was 12 years old. And then don't even talk about D.C. So it's important that our women now step up and begin to make sure that our communities and our families know what is going on and that sisters have got to come together and decide what we're going to do about it.
You know, this is nothing more than a practice of genocide, you know, because who has the babies? Who has the babies?
Right.
The women have the babies. They want to stop this entire race. And doing that, getting rid of the women, that would do that.
It's a strategic strike. Yes, indeed.
And if you put
that
with the infant mortality rate for people of African-American descent, it's 50%. That's the same as it was during slavery.
I tell you, people don't realize
the serious condition that's happening here is critical.
The
thing is that people have been kind of complacent because it's not, it hasn't been in your face like, you know, was in the 60s. But the same thing is happening. They've just gone about it a different route, subtle tactic. But it has never stopped. And that's what people have to understand, you know. It's like Janet said, they get confused when they see black being in certain positions and having certain opportunities that, you know, was never available to them. They're thinking that that means things are better, things are all right, but it doesn't mean that at all. They just have to give ground to certain things to keep people quiet. You know, it's like Dynamica always used the example to us. It's like a maverick in a herd of buffalo. That maverick has to be careful so that they don't, that buffalo don't notice them and stampede and cause a stampede. And that's what the people running this country is doing. Because for real, we always use the term minority when we're talking about black races and poor people, but it's the opposite. It's the opposite. We are the majority. And the money people and the people running this country are the minority. And so they have to be careful and do certain things so that they don't be stampede, you know. And that's what they do. They use certain things to keep people corralled and fooled into thinking that they have no recourse or that, you know, they're safe and things aren't that bad, but no, the situation is just as critical today as it was 300 years ago. And people have to understand that, you know? I mean, this stuff is upsetting to hear about, you know?
The organ harvesting is also a big thing in Chicago. Chicago is the number one place for those in the organ harvesting. Like you hear about a lot of these murders in Chicago. A lot, you know, said they find a lot of these children. The organs are missing, so that's a big thing that's going on.
Well, I'll tell you, that's what my thought went to when you were saying that these women were strangled or smothered.
You know,
because
Chicago,
they want to protect those the organs.
Yeah, Chicago is the number one place in the country for organ harvest.
Yeah, see. See?
Well, that Sister Nellie Bailey of the Black Agenda Report has been doing exposés on the organ transplant business in Africa. Many of these people who are refugees and fleeing colonial genocidal wars and become slaves also become victims and murdered for their organs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an international genocidal agenda.
Yes.
This is what makes
but let me bring
like this one so important.
And with that said, Sister Bay, let me bring it closer to home in real time. Last week we got a report from Baltimore. Baltimore conveyed to us that now where it used to be, if a family needed assistance, say someone died in your family, a loved one, and you had to deal with the burial expenses, it used to be where there was a $500, from $300 to $500 available to help to go towards that cost. Well, now in Baltimore, that has been discontinued unless you're already on public assistance or you're on Social Security, meaning that families are now being encouraged to cremate, meaning that now the removal of those organs are a lot easier and less trash because you're being asked to cremate because it's cheaper. This is what has been confirmed for Baltimore. This is what they're doing
now. You're decadent. This is absolute capitalistic decadence.
Boy, that's people need to wake up. People need to wake up and see what's going on around them and learn how to protect themselves from this monster maker. You know, this reminds me of Frankenstein. You know how to take organs and make into a Frankenstein. And Frankenstein wasn't the monster. It was the maker of Frankenstein who was the monster. You know, sisters need to learn how to defend themselves, how to protect themselves. You know, they need to stick together. Don't go any place by themselves. But, you know, that's how we are as a family. I know. They need to learn how to stay together. That's how we go. When we go someplace, we never go out without a family member. Never.
That's right. Right on.
They have to learn how to defend themselves. Learn how to defend themselves. Get themselves healthy and strong so they'll be able to protect themselves.
And that brings us right back to the issue with Delbert and the medical records. Because you see, you really, just because you go to the hospital, everybody's like, well, they're in the hospital. It's nothing to worry about. That's absolutely false. If you're in more jeopardy there because you're in their hands. There's nobody there to witness, and they make out the report. They make out the record, and they put whatever they want on there. You know, and your average person, the 90% of the people would not question any of those medical reports concerning their own family member. If a doctor said they died of this, or they had to cut this out because of a problem, they go right along with it and believe it 100%. And this is why we're saying we want Delbert's medical records. We want to see for ourselves and have other doctors look at it because you can't assume anything about these people. Not anything.
Right.
You know, because this is they used to do this in prison. When we were at Muncie, 1 year, every woman that went down to the infirmary was diagnosed with the exact same problem. I mean, it was uncanny. Everybody that went down 1 year, they were saying that they had a cyst on their ovary, you know. And then another year, everybody went down and they told them all the exact same symptoms and the same diagnosis. And we start seeing a pattern and we... And it was during the time when the issue of women, the you know, middle class and money rich women were having a lot of trouble with fertility. And it just hooked up with, you know, you're telling these women in prison that they have these symptoms with their female organs and they was just giving them partial hysterectomies and full hysterectomies left and right. You know, and so it goes on. It does go on. And they were in prison, and nobody knew. They didn't question anything. But we just sat and we looked at this, and we like everybody coming back saying, oh, I have to get a partial hysterectomy. Genocide. Wow.
Yes, it is. Yes,
well, you
it
know,
is.
In New York City, we campaigned to have this statue of this doctor taken down because he's the one who's responsible for the whole science of gynecology, and he did it by experimenting on black women.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Yes. And don't forget the Tuskegee experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Tuskegee experiment.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
you know that also goes back to Henrietta Lacks.
Oh, yes.
Right.
They
yes,
did
indeed.
Her horrible.
Yes.
Horrible.
Yes.
Horrible.
Yes.
Kept experimenting on her.
Yeah.
I mean, people got to wake up. This stuff is really happening. It's not going to stop unless people band together and make them stop. Because when we were at Muncie, the superintendent there told us that she only does what the inmates allow her to do.
Oh.
And she was absolutely right.
Yes.
Absolutely
yeah.
right.
Yes.
You know? So, I mean, you know, these are some troubling times, and they're not going to get any better, you know, feeling like, I know a lot of people feel like if they be quiet and don't make no waves, they'll be okay. But that's not true. It's not true at all because the people that this is happening to, they're not radicals, revolutionaries. They're not out there confronting politicians and other officials. These are just your average women going to work, you know, raising their kids, and they're disappearing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you cannot be safe by being quiet. You might as well raise hell because they're going to raise hell on you if you quiet or if you fight. So you might as well. In fact, the people that be quiet and laid back, they're more easier targets. Yep.
Yes.
Very. Yeah, they're easier targets because nobody suspects anything when something happens to them.
Yep.
Well, this is why I give a shout-out to people like Chairman Fred and Sister Pam Africa, because they were able to unite all of the struggle organizations around Malia,
yes.
around MOVE. Just as Brother Ralph pointed, was able to unite so many of the different issues in the movement around freeing Sister Lynn. It is this unity, and Sister Lynn insisted on it. She said, do not ever call my name without calling the names of all the other political prisoners out there. This is
yes,
where
right.
the victory lies. This is
yes.
where the victory
well.
Lies. And so this
yeah.
is what we have to do. We got to get out there. I mean, we just lost Tommy Manning. Because he was not an African-American does not mean he was any less warrior in terms
exactly.
of our cause.
Exactly, exactly. Because, see, and this is what people don't understand about MOVE. We don't agree or disagree with people because of the color of your skin. Absolutely not. We deal with people based on their actions, what they
exactly.
do. What they do because everybody is feeling the repercussions of this system, not just black people. I mean, we have a very violent past. You know, it was a lot of injustice, persecution done to blacks in the past that was really shocking. But we're not the only ones that this has happened to and it's still happening to. And that's what has to be understood. And we have as many struggles as soldiers in this revolution that are white, that are Spanish, that are
yes.
Oriental, you know, and it's just
yes.
got to be based on that. You have to base it on the courage, the heart of people, not their skin color. Because let's not forget, Mayor Good was black.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
so people.
See,
And that's why today we're kind of able to now do a little better differentiation of kinds of things. And you know, and I totally agree when it comes to the issue of justice, but I also have to make it very clear that, you know, there's confusion, for example, particularly with the younger generation. If there isn't a clear line in position when it comes to black folks, what happens, stuff gets all mixed in. And just like right now, we're commemorating the 400-year of recorded Africans being brought to this country for the purpose of the peculiar institution, i.e. enslavement. No one else can say that. So my point is, while the issue is justice, of course, and it's applicable to everyone, there are some things that are not. And it has and some of that in this day and age must be made clearer, because the blood, sweat, and tears of our ancestors. See, every group of people, make sure you know about their history and what has happened to their people.
Exactly.
And so we have to make certain that as we proceed in all of this, that people do understand that there are some very specific things that only we can say that is only applicable to us.
I'd like to interject here. One of the reasons is I sing out the praises of Sister Lynn and Brother Tommy Manning and Brother Richard Williams is because they always followed black leadership. They always said the black struggle was in charge. And I want to make that perfectly clear also. They were allies. They were not in charge. And sister, you are so correct. It is none but ourselves.
All right. So with that said, we certainly have so much work to do. And again, this is why the We Charge Genocide campaign is so on time, because it allows us to now bring the issue up of our political prisoners in the context of this 400-year kind of intent of what they have done to us as a people. And that with the 13th Amendment, with the mass incarceration, and now with the increase of black women populating the prison system. And like I said earlier, this is really now an attack on black women, because they really want the children. That's what's really going on. They want the children.
Yeah.
And so to now have this major attack on the black women, they always attacked our men. That's always been primary. But now to make sure that they're able to get the children, they are now making certain that the mother can be out of the way. And lastly, keep in mind, just as Move gave us examples for 40 years, we are seeing the manifestation of things that they talked about and predicted right now. What's going to now also happen is more black women are going to be incarcerated, because as they begin to make things like marijuana, and again, I'm not against, medicinal things that are natural for our people, but that's not the intent of this system. This system is going to put that stuff out there. They're going to lace it. And at some point, it is going to become very complicated on a chemical level. And see, these are the things that we know is going to happen, and people are going to buy into it under the guise of, well, this is natural. Well, yeah, well, they got natural foods in the market that is GMO, but they are natural. So we've got to really help our people to better understand what's really going on, because there's a major plan. And like we said, and it has been said, we're no longer needed here. The workforce and the other things that we used to be good for, they don't need us for that anymore.
Nope. We were talking about that the other day, how they're just trying to annihilate the entire race. They're just trying to annihilate. And just like you said, If they take the mothers, they take the children. If they
That's
take
right.
the children, they take the men. You know what I'm saying? And that is slowly, this is what they did to the Jews. They slowly took it away from them. They didn't see what was happening to them. They was annihilating them. It's very slow, and they wasn't paying attention, and they swooped on them. And this is what's happening to the black race right now. They are slowly doing these surprising things and taking away the entire race, annihilating the entire race. People got to wake up and get strong and watch around them. Don't become a slave to this system. Don't become a slave to them drugs to be able to do the things like you just got finished saying, that they will lace them and start, you know, like affecting our productive organs so black men and women can't have children. You know,
I'd like
right.
to interject something here. I'd like to interject 2 points, if I may, and I'll be brief.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the pattern that the sister just described of how they are attacking women and the procreation issue, you can see that in Africa in terms of the so-called medical care they're giving the people in the refugee camps. Secondly, if you study the statistics of the genocide in Australia, the incarceration of the women increased 50%, and they took the children and put them in a foster care situation, which were like death camps. That same pattern is being repeated in Hawaii. And people, you should know, the Hawaiians are not white, and they're not yellow, they're not brown. Some of them are as dark as us. So if you look at Australia, if you look at Hawaii, you will see these same patterns. And if you look at our indigenous nation, warrior nation, what they call Indians, you can see the end game for genocide, which is still going on with the indigenous nation. But you're talking about marijuana. I'm more worried about the diet of sugar, corn syrup, and McDonald's. I think that will kill us before marijuana. No, I'm not. I'm very serious about this.
Oh, I know.
That will kill us before marijuana will. And this is why I praise the Moon family and their emphasis on diet. I think they dropped the bomb on them as much because of their lifestyle as because of the teachings of John Africa with regard to African liberation. This issue of diet and diabetes is killing us.
Yeah, when we were feeding our children raw food,
we were criticized.
They criticized us. They told us, and they put out to the public that we were abusing our children because we wouldn't let them eat from McDonald's. That's what their exact words. Our children don't have it. They never get to eat from McDonald's. They're being malnourished because they're not getting candy and hamburgers and all of that. They told us that we were jeopardizing the health of our babies because we breastfed them. You see everything because John Africa was taking us away from everything that now is being seen as a threat, health threat to your life. But they knew that. They saw that back then, and they was trying to stop it. They didn't want people to be influenced by John Africa's teaching. They wanted everybody to keep feeding their kids all that junk and for the adults to eat all that junk. In fact, I commented on that when we first came home and riding through different neighborhoods. You could tell when you were in a black neighborhood because certain areas in the black neighborhood, all it smelled like was fried grease. You know, you could just smell it, and then it made me think about it because they were saying how, you know, black people have the higher rate of high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, but it's the way that they encourage us to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and they make it available because that kind of food is cheaper than healthy food. You know,
well,
and
I have to admit, I'm not addicted to heroin, but I'm addicted to fried chicken.
Yes, everybody. and it's made accessible, and easy for people to have that. But and it's harder because you know that food that they tell you is good for you is sometimes two times more expensive
than
the food that we can
eat.
Right.
And we're not condemning. Mm-hmm. We're not condemning people for eating fried chicken. You know, what we're saying is the mentality of people, like just being concerned about your health, okay?
Yes.
Because there are things out there that people like, all right? And, I mean, eat those things, eat them in moderation, but don't think that those things don't cause you to have problems along the way, all right? Just don't become a slave to it. All right, you can. I mean, please understand what I'm saying because we don't want anybody to feel like we are condemning them for what they eat.
We are
telling you to understand what this system is doing to people when they feed you the things that's going to cause you to be unhealthy. Okay?
Well,
just take it a step at a time.
Yes, because I am addicted to fried chicken. So I appreciate John Africa's teaching. I also want to point out the fact that they put corn syrup in everything, and that's what makes diabetes
really.
And soda. Yes.
And it's
soda and everything.
That diabetes is real prevalent now, real prevalent, because the food is no good.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You know, and people don't understand that and hook it up with that. You know, because that's how I felt. Until years and years later, being in MOVE, I thought people just got sick. You know, I didn't realize that it comes from certain eating habits and stuff. I just thought, well, you get sick. Because when we was growing up, you know, we were young kids, and the older people would always say, oh, she got the sugar. Well, I just thought something happened to people, you know. And it's just like, I mean, you know, I didn't know. But that's what, you know, people have to just be aware of and be conscious of, because this is how they always do, black people. They've always done this. You know, when the slaves was in their quarters and they had to cook the pigs for the rich plantation owners, they would give us the scraps. And then when they saw that we were surviving on it and liking it, then they turned it into gourmet and start selling it to us. You know? So, you know, it's just, you know, like you said, we just have so much to do to get ourselves strong and to protect ourselves and to protect our kids. And it's a lot of work, but it can be done. It can be done, especially if everybody moves together and work together. It can be done. Things can get better.
And Chairman Fred,
let's go back for one moment, because I'm not sure if Chairman Fred and Sister Betty heard earlier that the family did, in fact, talk to Brother Delbert. And there is something going on tomorrow. So I just want to recap on that.
Thank you. Yeah.
And Sister Betty, telling a lot of people about that welcoming celebration that y'all had for us in New York when we first came home. That was one of the most wonderful events that I was at. It was, the vibration was so warm, and the revolutionary presence was there. And I mean, I felt it from everybody in that room. And as we went around the room and everybody spoke about themselves and what they were involved in, it was just a connection that really, I mean, just plugged everybody in. Didn't you feel good that night? Did you feel?
Yes. You were a shot in the arm to the movement.
It was wonderful.
You say we can do it. You and your sister and your family, your organization, you're proof. I will never stop admiring people like Chairman Fred. I mean, his dad was slaughtered. His mom was, you know, they tried to destroy her. And look at him. Look how powerful he is. He is
never so you have to come closer to your phone.
I just wanted to say, Chairman Fred, and the Move family, they are my inspiration. When I get up every morning and I look at all the demons I have to fight, I think about you guys. And
wow.
It gives me courage, and I thank you
wow.
for that. And
thank
you, Kevin Fred. You came
thank
to New
you.
York, and we really needed you. And Sister Janine and Sister Janet, when I walked in that room at Sister Suzanne's house and saw how strong and powerful you look, it really gave me a shot in the arm to try and continue to fight.
Right on. Right on.
Before we close out, we want Sister Janine and Sister Jeanette to recap. There is something going on tomorrow. Again, they did speak with Brother Delbert. Someone in the family did speak with Brother Delbert today, but there is still something going on tomorrow. So, sisters, you want to repeat that for us, please?
Yeah. There's going to be a demonstration up at Geisinger Hospital in Wilkes-Barre. It's going to begin at 9 o'clock, and the address is 1000 East Mountain Boulevard, and the zip code is 18711. And after they protest there, they're going to make themselves available down at Dallas Prison, where hopefully our brothers will be able to get in and see Delbert tomorrow. That's their plan, to get in and visit Delbert tomorrow. And, you know, and the protest is because we want Delbert's medical records. We want to see exactly what those doctors are saying and what kind of treatment they gave him, because we do not want to happen to Delbert what almost happened to Mumia. You know, they fought and got Mumia's medical records, and they gave it to an outside doctor of their choice who looked it over, and he realized from the reports that they were getting ready to give Mumia a combination of medication that was lethal and would have killed him. And he said if Pam and the rest of the family hadn't gotten that information to him and stopped Mumia, Mumia would have died. And that's what we're trying to prevent with Delbert. We want to see those records, have an outside doctor of our choice review them, and see exactly what's going on with Delbert. We appreciate you for having us. We want everybody to unite, support all political prisoners. You know, do what you can. A lot of times you can just write a letter, you know, let them know, you know, how you feel about them and thank them for all the work that they've done. You know, because it is an important thing that everybody knows that they were appreciated for all their work. And we have to teach our young ones, y'all. We have to teach them. They have to learn what it's about, that it's not fun and games, that this system is enslaving. And if allowed, they will just get sucked in and end up hurting themselves.
Well, I wanted to say right on the Move, Revolutionary Love, Respect again. Revolutionary Appreciations. Just giving the heads up to be on the line with y'all. I look forward to seeing y'all. Extend our love from all the comrades here. Again, on the Move, Free Delbert, Africa Free Them All. Again, Revolutionary Love and Respect. I look forward. I'm gonna follow up. I'm gonna give y'all a call directly. So we work on getting y'all here for August 30th. But in the meantime, between time, again, Revolutionary Love and Respect. It's very good to hear your voice as well as also. And again, extend our love and respect to all the comrades on that end. On the Move, Free Them All.
Oh, thank you, Chairman Fred.
On the Move.
Thank you.
Special thanks to our host, Sister Jeanette.
Yeah, by all means. But before we go, is there an address where people can send cards or write to Brother Delbert?
He's at SCI Dallas Prison. But let me give you, because since that big drug issue in the prison, they have given us another address. You can't just write directly to the prison. One minute, we're gonna find it for you. But while we're looking for that, his name is Delbert or Africa, and his number is AM 4985. And here is, when you address the envelope, you have to put Smart Communication PA/DOC, and then you put SCI Dallas Prison, 1000 Follies, Follies Road, Dallas, PA. P.O., excuse me, before you put the P.O. Box, 33028, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33733. That's a lot, but we have to do that now or all of your mail will be sent back. Everything is rerouted to this address in Florida.
You want all right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Wonderful.
Thank
wonderful.
You so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, indeed. And we're going to have you back soon again. We're going to make sure we keep people updated on what's going on with Brother Delbert. And also, family, again, this is Black August, and certainly we're talking about all of our political prisoners. On Saturday, we will talk a little more about Mumia Abu-Jamal, what's going on with him now, as well as give you some updates on Imam Jamil Al-Amin and also Dr. Matulu Shakur. We have some reports and updates on them as well. Sister Denise, Sister Jeanette, thank you again. This has been a wonderful, wonderful dialogue. Thank you, Sister Betty, for taking some time out. I know you had another engagement, but thank you for coming
yes,
in.
Yes, yes, yes. All right.
Absolutely.
No,
and also, Chairman Fred, I will talk with you a little later on and
yes.
Make sure you
yes.
get the sisters, contact information so you can schedule
right
them
on.
For your program.
Right on.
It was
all
a wonderful
right.
surprise, Fred. A wonderful surprise, Sister Betty.
All right.
A
wonderful surprise.
Thank
yes.
you so much.
On the move,
thank you.
All
on
right,
the move.
Family.
On the move.
Peace to you all.
Come on.